Well, our gospel this Sunday is a bit of a wake-up call, the kind of thing we might hear during the season of Advent, or as we approach the great feast of Christ the King, the Sunday before Advent, you know, about being prepared, being vigilant. You know, we see this kind of, especially as we approach Advent, this kind of apocalyptic stuff, right, like end times. And we celebrate Advent every year, and we know when it's coming. We can anticipate it. So part of, I think, the beauty of having this passage now, when it's mid-August, in ordinary time in the church calendar, is that it reminds us that when the return of the Lord comes, first of all, it will not simply be another event, but it will be the climatic event in all of history. But it will come to us in the midst of, in a sense, ordinary time. You know, we think of this season of ordinary time, this right now, which is the longest stretch of ordinary time, from Easter to Advent. And liturgically, you know, as we think about this long season of ordinary time, this can be a time where we might think of as just kind of like kicking back, maybe get kind of lazy in our spiritual disciplines, maybe with prayer, letting that take a back seat, maybe even letting our mass attendance slide. You know, a time when I think many people are traveling and on vacations, and we might think, you know, when I get to Advent or Lent, that's when I'll get serious, right? That's when I'll kind of, you know, put things into gear again. But I think it's kind of like this in our lives. You know, as we await the return of the Lord, or we come to the end of our life, it's almost like, you know, it couldn't happen now. It couldn't happen now. So there's this kind of parallel here that we see between, again, ordinary time, meaning ordinary life. And we want to be ready and prepared when that moment occurs. And this is the thing for which we're longing, for which hope allows us to go through all the difficulties of life. You know, you think of just this past year, all the many terrible things we've seen with, you know, ongoing war and violence throughout the world, natural disaster, tragedies. And the return of the Lord is that promise that when he comes, he will bring with him the resurrection. And healing and forgiveness and make all things new. And that evil will be defeated once and for all. So this gospel is a kind of wake-up call. And we see the parable of the master's return. And the master slips away from the wedding to go home. Now, that's kind of an interesting detail. What's the wedding? Well, we'll come back to that. But that even as he goes home, and this is interesting too, notice he knocks on the door of his own home. He knocks on the door. Like if you let your, I don't know, went out with your spouse, left your kids at home with the babysitter, when upon coming home, would you knock on the door of your home? You know, you're coming home from work, coming home to your family, you don't knock on the door first. So in a sense, the master is saying to the servants, okay, just one more time. Just one more time. I'm knocking. I'm coming. And that's what we get with this Sunday's gospel. We get this knock on the door. Our door. Like this little reminder that we're called to be faithful and laboring so that we can greet his coming. That when we get this time now, when we can choose for Christ and make the changes we need to make to seek reconciliation with God and with one another and overcome maybe that habit of sin or get our priorities straightened out. And that's a mercy the Lord gives us right now, is this time, that there's still time. He's still knocking. So we're not like those servants here who miss out on that. That we're not like those who are not prepared upon the master's return. And the other beautiful part of this gospel is that we see at the very end, we hear the master will gird himself and serve. 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 Serve whom? Well, serve those who are called to the wedding supper of the Lamb, the heavenly wedding banquet. And that's where we want to be, brothers and sisters. We want to be at that table. I do. I'm thinking about Isaiah 25, when the prophet writes, on that mountain the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples, a feast of rich food and choice wines, rich food full of marrow. Now, Deacon Ryan probably knows, some of you may know, it's really great. The original Hebrew here, when it says rich food full of marrow, literally means fatty things dripping with fat. Like, have you ever been to a wedding reception, like where they were just serving vegetables? Like, you serve the most abundant, rich food. It's a celebration. It's a time to delight. And we see even with our Lord's, Jesus' first public miracle, right? Changing the water into wine in Galilee. That Jesus is even attentive to something like a wedding couple running out of wine at their wedding. That he cares about this. That it's worthy of celebration and rejoicing. And that's a beautiful image for us. This really Eucharistic image of the Master who will serve. And what we receive here at this Mass, at this altar, of course, is a foretaste of that heavenly wedding banquet. Why, you know, during Mass, right before communion, the priest raises up the sacred host and announces, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." I told Deacon Ryan the other day, I really wish that it actually said, "The wedding supper of the Lamb." But it isn't, and I'm not in charge, so maybe I'll write a letter to Pope Leo or something. But that the Master is coming back, and the Master is coming to give us something infinitely more valuable, to give us the New Jerusalem, to give us his very presence, to give us the wedding feast of the Lamb for all eternity. That's what we're given. And if we're not prepared for that, and if we allow those around us not to be prepared for that, by not inviting them to that feast, by not sharing the gospel with them, by not making sure they know they have an invitation, what a loss. Now, so that's my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is to really pray about who the Lord might be inviting you to invite to Mass. Who it might be that's waiting for that invitation. Or maybe to invite to Rescue Project, which the parish will hold again this fall. This wonderful opportunity to just encounter the Lord in a life-changing way, to explore why Jesus matters. Because I think sometimes the reason we don't do that, we don't make those kinds of invitations, is because it's scary. But I can tell you, I think most often we're the ones more scared, not the person waiting for that invitation. They're just waiting. But the loss, of course, that's going to be ours or theirs if we don't make that invitation is going to be a loss that's so tragic, a loss of missing out. You know, the kids, I don't know if they